Oh my god, no.
Recording in progress.
Ooh. I never moved that water. How do I change my name to anything? I'm getting to that. Change my name. Oh my god, I'm so annoyed. Right.
Recording in progress. Recording stopped.
no trigger him? Hello?
Recording in progress.
I'm trying to just go back and I don't want to talk to you. So I think I don't remember the report, but we can continue to go to the four members can start the
session. Good morning, honorable members. Let me say this is the chance to welcome you in the meeting. Good morning. My name is Jamie. Then observe a moment of silence for the technician of prayer. Thank you very much. Can we then have apologies to Melissa?
Good morning, Professor.
Honorable members, today's agenda, we were invited the Department of Human Settlements, both national and province and municipality, to come and brief us on the petition.
Good
that
man,
was
why did you zoom in? Oh.
From Councillor Mangali, and then the second item, the progress report is on the Rampur Mabopane petitioner to the petition parliament because they've lost their houses officially. They wanted the parliament house to get their houses back. There's been several meetings that have been held between ourselves, department and petitioners and those affected departments. At the provincial level and the municipality level. So then, can I get a number for the adoption of the agenda for us to proceed with the meeting? Can I get any indication from members?
I'm not for
the adoption to provide the agenda.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Honorable. Thank you very much. The agenda is to be adopted. We will now invite the maybe just to the chief the department who is leading the delegation from national and they should introduce the struggling and create the rhythm that is easier and can tell. Can we then be led by the department?
Yes. Oh, Ngata. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to yourself, Chair President, and to the honorable members of the portfolio committee. Chair, I am the person who is delegated to lead the delegation of the department and to the patient thereafter. We have been attendance to the Nanam Songo, Dr. Nanam Songo, who is responsible for infection policy, and she will be leading the presentation with regards to the Creative Valley method together with colleagues from the province, but in the leader of the team from the provincial department in the Western Cape will then, when they present, they will then introduce their team chairperson. I also have Mr. Bruce Schwarzen, who is responsible for IGR in the department, and he's the one who will be assisting with the presentation with regards to DDM model, as well as Ms. Rashmi Atkinson, and they will be then taking the numbers to that one. And in attendance, we also have colleagues from the Office of the DM, Ms. Kolelonga Kati, as well as colleagues from the Office of the Minister, both Zoledan Dizani and Kuyani Kule. That is the delegation from the team. Chair, I'm not sure if you think we should also proceed with the engagement, and if that's the case, I will be okay. Chairperson and members,
you have the one and the house and the board on the second petition.
Chairperson, we do not. Election says it's supposed to be four of them. It's City of Kwane, Northwest Housing Corporation, Southern Department of Human Settlements, as well as Southern Department of Northwest Department of Human Settlements. Chair, I think for quite some time, they have been, they did not form part of the invite previously, as well as the discussions, Chairperson. As a result, you were not requested to extend the invite to them as well, Chair. So I'm not sure, Chair, how you want to attend to this. And I may as well take this opportunity, Chairperson, now that you have. I may as well take this opportunity and indicate that from the side of the Minister and the DG, from the discussions around this matter, Chair, much as we have prepared the progress report and we have submitted to the Portfolio Committee, but there is a strong view, Chair, that they have been left out for too long, and they are not accounting based on the fact that we have been requested by yourself as the committee to coordinate and facilitate in making sure that they respond to the petitioner's complaints. But they are not here to account and be able to indicate why they have not made progress for the long time. I think I will stop at this point, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One of the members that does the situation include you. Department of Human Settlement, Housing, Department of Northwest, and then the Honorable Secretary. Honorable Secretary. I'm going to tell you to report to the good report that is as forward. We will listen, but this report is clearly pointing fingers to some other people. Then we have to call the department of the board. But I was thinking that that's going to be in the end, what the department is doing. Because it's not as good necessarily have to extend the user. I think they, based on what we have on paper, they can make that determination.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Secretary. Is this the feeling of all other members? The feeling of other members?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. let's proceed, Naka.
Thank you so much, Secretary, and thanks to the honorable member for the guidance. Chair, we will start with the very first item and the content of the very bill. The new Mandela Square. Chair, members would recall that late last year there was a particular committee engagement on this one, and I think in that meeting, Chairperson, we requested to be given time to go back and reconvene ourselves as well as the provincial department of human settlements at that time, together with the relevant municipality, and find each other and be able to come up with a plan on what is it that we can be able to do through the municipality and the provincial department to actually correct the situation in that area. I do want to indicate to the person that we have met several times as the ministers of government, and we will be presenting and what we are proposing in terms of the corrective measures in resolving the challenges on the ground. Chair, we have not combined the presentations. We have two presentations, one from the National Department of Human Settlements and the other one is from Western Cape Provincial Department. I would request, Chair, that we take both of the presentations at once, and then members can engage based on those two presentations with no permission, Chair. I will now hand over to Dr. Nanam from the Digital Council, and she will then hand over to the colleagues from the Provincial Department in the open human settings. Over to you, please.
Thanks, Dedicated. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members and colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity to do this presentation. I will request my colleague Rashmi to lead us on the presentation. Can I check if we will be assisted to slide the presentation from
I will give a message good morning, Chair, Honorable Chair, good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues, and the National Department and the province. I'm going to take us through the presentation for Greater Valley. Chairperson, Chair, the outline of the presentation is really just to get to the crux of the matter, which is that at the last portfolio committee meeting, the portfolio committee, Honorable Members, the elements that we need to have the implementation plan that deals with the issues that were raised by the Honorable Councillor around the Greater Valley project, especially around New Mandela Square 5-2. So this presentation is ultimately dealing with the proposed action that is expected to be dealt with by the various spheres of government, as well as the funding sources that we've identified. And some of the key delivery dates that we put in place. So, Chair, we request the portfolio committee to take note of the work that has been done, but also to advise further on the implementation plan that we put in here today to the portfolio committee. Chair, this is a joint presentation.
So I think the province will also reiterate some of the issues that we are raising here. Maybe as a background, honorable members, a petition was received by the portfolio committee, by honorable councillor Mangeli of Board 16 in the Beer Valley municipality, and they were concerned that the councillor raised around the lack of service delivery in specifically New Mandela Square 652, in that the top structures were not yet constructed. Chair, as my DG had just explained, that in November last year, the portfolio committee had requested that we go back and come back with engage with the municipality to establish exactly what's happening on the ground, which we have done. We had several engagements with the municipality and the province, and we is going to support a plan in terms of how we need to get to the construction of the top structure. The overview, Chair, is just to remind honorable members that the locality of New Mandela 652 are in those dotted lines, the red dotted lines. And initially the project was meant to deliver 620 semi-detached units, 263 standing units, and 8 open space urban. This is what we've managed to establish when we met with the municipality over December and January. The municipality, because of the invasion that has happened on the Mandela Square, to be able to deal with the influx of people to the area and to provide additional housing, they identified for November and the Transit project as two areas for relocation. And at the last portfolio committee meeting, members were very clear that it's not about these two relocation areas, it's about what we're going to do in New Mandela Square. But we just highlighted that because it's important to note that what we're doing in New Mandela Square has to be, there has to be some parallel action happening in those three areas as well. This is just a map to show that New Mandela Square is part two within the Greater Worcester Priority Development Area, so there must be utmost importance attached to this because in terms of our mandate and as our spatial transformation objectives, Greater Worcester Priority Development Area needs to receive significant attention if we're going to achieve spatial integration for the Beer Valley municipality. So the intervention that we have to chairperson is that we convened, as I indicated, with the Beer Valley municipality and the Department of Infrastructure in the Western Cape on the 16th, the 23rd, the 23rd, and there were some additional smaller meetings and engagements that were happening between the technical team, even over January and more recently, just to touch base in terms of what is progress. There was a physical meeting where the team went down to the Western Cape, Beer Valley, and spent three days there with the municipality as well as the province. At the first day of the meeting, the municipality was the key officials were not available to receive us. We were then had to deal with the project administrator who was able to take us through some of the project documentation because Chairperson, when we went as the National Department, as the province and the province, we really need to get to depth and grip to what the project, what were the challenges. So we needed to see what was on record in the municipality. It was only on the second day that the relevant municipal officials joined us and then also took a visit to the area in the Mandela Square. And then we established that there were key challenges in this particular project in Mandela Square 652. That requires urgent attention from province as well as the municipality. And so that's where we put the action plan together with the municipality team, interrogated and being consulted with the municipality, and there's agreement that these are the things that need to be done, which I'm going to take for portfolio committee too. So just the background, again, in 2008, the municipality grant approval for the four projects in New Mandela Square 652. And the project at the time, the sites that were constructed there already received infrastructure for electricity and greatly water and sewer services. And
what is now established is also that the area roads are now covered in gravel because of the influx of people taking or living in the Mandela Street. Since 2008, since the services were installed, there was concern, and given the visits that the team undertook there, that there has to be an evaluation to establish what is the quality of the services or the infrastructure that was initially installed in 2008 and today, because the carrying capacity of that infrastructure was meant to deal with one household per site, and now there's about 3 to 4 households per site. So there is a very important concern that was raised by the technical team that as we proceed to construct or push to construct houses on the Mandela Space Part 2, the quality of the service sites that are already there need to be checked and verified and evaluated. In 2015, the council municipality had adopted to appoint an implementation agent to implement the construction of houses, but what we could establish with the team in the municipality is that that contract or that appointment was no longer valid. So there needs to be a new implementation agent that's appointed by the municipality to construct those houses, right? So there was no further action taken since that appointment of that contract had left, which is partly also what delayed construction or caused the lack of delivery in the Mandela Space Part 2. We also established within the municipality that there were various studies undertaken since 2018, but most of the studies were focused on how to relocate people that were not going to benefit from the new Mandela Square but were already living there to other areas. So those are the four studies that were undertaken by the municipality. So that's what we've managed to check on record with the municipality. What we've identified as concerns, Jennifer, is, as I indicated, the new Mandela Space Part 2 was meant to have one household per site. What we find, of course, is that there's more than 3 households per site, and it does create worry about the quality of infrastructure that's currently in the Mandela Square, those that were installed. So we have just spend more money also to verify the existing infrastructure. The concern for us is that we asked for the beneficiary list and they want to provide this for us. So we indicate to you that because we didn't receive that beneficiary list, there's nothing available. The municipality was unable to provide that to us. We also established that as much as the municipality says that it did do remuneration, but we do believe that remuneration done because the additional households have occupied the area since 2018, so there's a need for remuneration to be done. So the 2018 one is outdated and will serve the purpose to inform us on how to address the relocation of those existing households. Point number four is that the municipality recognizing that there is a need to identify the beneficiaries that would have benefited from Part 2, it is still not started the beneficiary administration process, nor does it even have a relocation strategy we're raising these things because we say in order for us to construct houses in New Mandela Square, these are the things that the municipality should have had in place, and we've identified it as action that needs to be done urgently. We also identified, Chair, that we asked the question, what is it that things are not moving in the Mandela Square, and it's largely also associated with the fact that there's no dedicated project management to deal with the Mandela Square in this fight to floating challenges. The municipality doesn't have the capacity internally. What is advised is that perhaps through the upstream from the province to avail some project management capacity to support the municipality in managing the construction of houses, so getting up to the construction of the houses, as well as the relocation and the actions that need to happen after that. So there's no dedicated project management capacity in the municipality right now. Also, of course, because of the influx of people to the area, the New Mandela Square in the city was increasing and was very inaccessible for any contractor to, if we had to appoint a contractor tomorrow, to construct houses given the density in the area. So, Chairperson, other areas have been identified, yes, we acknowledge to some of charity to relocate people. But he's saying while that relocation is happening, there is a need to, for the municipality and the province to package a concrete development plan for the area, as well as assemble the appropriate project management capacity for the construction of the Mandela Square, so that when these relocations happen, to begin to start the construction and the process that need to happen to accompany the relocation to other areas. So the implementation plan that the municipality, province, and national agreed to is that it should focus on the four key actions: the remuneration of the beneficiaries or the households on the Mandela Space 2, the need to have a relocation strategy. So we've been talking relocation, but there's no plan in place to say how that's going to happen, who's affected by the relocation, how many is it going to happen. So there's an urgent need for that relocation strategy. The confirmation, as I indicated earlier, of the current engineering services on the Mandela Space 2. We've now determined what are the funding requirements, the preliminary and where those funding sources are, and I'll take us through that, as well as who's responsible for that. And then, of course, once all of that is done, the construction of the substructure. These are four key activities that have happened parallel to each other. It doesn't have to be such as remuneration first or policy of engineering services. These things can run parallel, which is partly to their fast track as to get to the construction of substructure. The municipality, however, emphasized that there can't be anything in 6.2 unless we recognize the relocation of the households to other areas that would then free up space and allow the construction to have an open chamber. The key actions required for new Mandela, and this is just indicating, as I just want to emphasize, the actions are indicators of the responsibility and timeline. The remuneration and beneficiary identification is of critical importance. We don't know who's located on 652, who's living on a particular earth, how many households, how many people, so we need that remuneration urgently. The municipality needs to be driving that process. That's an immediate action, and it can be with the support of the province through the existing grant accommodated for in the 2014 Park Business Plan. I also think that if the development of the relocation strategy together with the master plan for that area has to be done as well. And it can't be left hanging because we don't know what to do, we don't have the strategy, and who's affected by the relocation itself. We've also agreed that the municipality and the province need to work together to apply for funding for the top structures to the province. And the province is able to guide us in terms of what is the appropriate timeline once they receive the funding application from the municipality for this project, to then can proceed to accommodate it in the business plan. What we've established is the municipality hasn't made any funding application to the province for construction of the substructures because there's been a lot of focus on the relocation to the other areas. So the province has advised the municipality to start preparing their funding application, so that by the time the relocation has happened, the funding application is ready to be processed. The other key action is the dedicated and full-time project management for Nelson Mandela Square, and that is saying must be done at a municipal level with the support of the province. There's also the appointment of the contractor for the Nelson Mandela Square. We're saying it's subject to funding allocations, but there's a lot of prep that has to happen before that, and the municipality can start that if we want to cross-rate construction in the Mandela Square. And then we want to verify the status of services, meaning the capacity within the municipality on the site for the Mandela Square. The municipality has indicated that we want capacity in the units for public works to be utilized to start verifying that, and they're committed to do that by the end of June. So in terms of funding sources, there's the various activities that I've just explained now. There's the two grants, the Human Settlement Development Grant and the Informal Settlement Partnership Grant, as well as additional or internal resources of the municipality. The municipality has indicated that it can do the remuneration internally as well as verify the status of the engineering services. When you last checked, that hasn't yet started. You checked on the underrated municipality. This hasn't yet commenced. So it is a concern, and hence we're saying there is a need for dedicated focus capacity in that municipality to make this thing go. Because right now, it's one project of many projects that the municipal officials are dealing with. The beneficiary administration of the municipality can do that, and it is said that it's done it in 2018, an update remuneration, but we are concerned that these activities haven't yet started. The relocation strategy, the development of the master plan, the relocation of the household, we're saying can be done through the ICPG grant, and already funds are being allocated from that grant towards the relocation of households. The substructures and the dedicated project management capacity and the actual construction of substructures of the Intrantec is catered for in the HSDG for Intrantec. The other two, project management capacity and the substructure in the municipality, that would have to be applied for by the municipality to the province to be able to accommodate it in the business plan. We did stress that and we have raised it with the municipality that trust structures in Transact is not helping us deal with the growing problem in human development. And unless the municipality gets to grip with this urgency by accelerating the pace of our planning for that area, and as well as doing the innovation and relocation strategy, we're not going to see a lot of movement in human development. So the two grants that we've established the province has, through the municipality or municipality through the province have allocated funds for is the Trantec, which is 50 units in Trantec, but we've urged the province and municipality to increase those units, but because by increasing those units, we're dealing with decanting that area, but then at the same time starting to construct housing in the municipality. The municipality through the province has also made of funding in the form of settlement upgrading grants on a camera, which is the other area which the municipality wants to formalize for relocation. Chairperson, this is the presentation, and we do ask the chairperson and honorable members to note and advise on the implementation plan for the Mandela State. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. This is a joint presentation.
Yes, Chair. Province will take us through the presentation.
Okay. Province. Good afternoon. Good morning. Portfolio Commission Chairperson and honorable colleague. My name is Tamina August. I'm the Chief Deputy Responsible for Planning. Planning within the Research Department of Human Settlement. I'm going to ask my colleague Lee Balcomit, the regional planner responsible for the Beaver Valley policy, just to fill the gap that the students did not cover the justice presentation. We also have with us the regional manager for the area of the Southland, and the municipality is also with us. If there are any questions that need to be answered through the portfolio committee. So I'm going to ask Julie, I just want to double check, can you know the season test and the coverage of season test for us, please?
I don't think you want to connect to the Wi-Fi.
Hello, Jonathan. Yes, I have a question. Apologies from the 2 months from the recent case, the ex-ministry for the government. So that's not able to address this. Thank you. And Joey, you are not before we are moving.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Lilith. Let me just quickly try and share my screen. Okay, there we go. Thank you. I think in terms of the presentations, as was indicated by Roshni, the presentations were developed jointly between the province, municipality, and the national departments. So the information is basically implicated in our presentation as well. Maybe just to go through, I'm going to go through the background and what's done. We have mentioned the various engagements that have been taking place since last year, or end of last year, as well as the two-day engagement with the various tourism government to discuss the project. Just that the department has allocated funding to the value of 2.7 million rand to municipalities for the 23-24 financial year, specifically to deal with the Zwelle Themba upgrading project, the UISP project in that area. And as Roshni indicated in her presentation, the next planning tranche is valued at 2.6 million rand to continue the planning work. In terms of immediate actions, it's very similar to what was indicated in the previous presentation. The enumeration, which is a critical aspect that needs to be undertaken as quickly as possible, confirmation of existing services in Mandela Square, the creation of a master plan management of that whole area of the Zwelle neighborhood that needs to be undertaken. And then also I would like to add just one more point, the packaging of a project feasibility report application, as Roshni indicated, that is the next step in terms of the packaging for the URSP project. Just to go through the list of work that has already been done in terms of the project. So the UISP application has been drafted, has been submitted, it's gone through the approval processes, and funding has been allocated accordingly. Currently, the idea is that detailed feasibility studies undertaken in that area, as in the previous presentation as well. They need to undertake the enumeration work in Mandela. That could kick off immediately or as soon as possible. Then the development, master plan development for Zwelle Themba itself, and that should be undertaken as well based on discussions. The follow-up actions for the relocation strategy that needs to be developed, and as indicated in the previous presentation, that strategy can be, or work can start immediately on the development of that strategy. The PFR application process, the release of tranche funding to fund the planning work that needs to happen, all of those aspects with the indicated timelines, packaging of the actual implementation plan for the construction application for the top structures of the Mandela is also additional aspect that has to be undertaken as soon as possible. But I'm not going to dwell too much on those details. And then finally, the construction of top structures is expected in Mandela in the 26-27 financial year. Thank you, Chair. That is a presentation from the province side of the stage. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I remember the real conversation when I said I was that one to engage on the conversation. Honorable Madam Matista.
Thank you, Peter. My apologies, I came a bit late into the meeting, so I missed the part about the provinces that were named. I don't know what the context was, and maybe that would be clarified to me, whether it's in relation to follow up with regard to other projects or what that was about. I'll just ask for your indulgence then. But with regard to this specific project at hand, I assume this relates to the petition where the councillor or the representative see on behalf of complainants raised concerns and basically contradicted the assertion or assertions by the Western Cape province and municipality regarding progress in relation to the implementation of Nelson Mandela Square human settlement project. I'm not sure if that complainant is part of this meeting or alleged to be part of this meeting. Like I said, I know that he passed at the beginning of this meeting.
Is
here to confirm or dispute the progress report that is being presented. I already see red lights on several fronts with regard to this update. In fact, to me, if I were to be crude, and I'm trying to find a diplomatic way, Chair, politically to characterize what is before us, so I'll try very hard to be, not be harsh, but be gentle. Difficult to find the right way. What I see though is lack of accountability, lack of urgency, lack of political will and commitment, kicking the can down the road all the time, finding new English words to say basically the same thing. And I wish we were in England where we could be closer to the King's Palace, where we can be taught better English so that we can unpack some of the very good English statements that have been made here. Like I said, I'm trying to find a diplomatic way of expressing my views here. Very disappointed, very frustrated. I mean, at one level, we're talking about things that should happen immediately. At another level, we're told about things that will happen in 2 years, 3 years' time. Okay. I don't know which is which. We're told about funding, planning that's been completed, funding that's been allocated, let alone approved. But at another level, we're told about funding that still needs to be applied for.
Mm-hmm.
We're told about plans on several fronts that I get to be completed. And the word immediately keeps on being thrown in. I don't know what the word immediately means. Does it mean immediately after this meeting, these things are going to happen? And by who? And who takes responsibility for making sure that they actually do happen? I heard the first presenter saying that the province or the municipality is saying they cannot proceed until and unless, to paraphrase, if the affected community actually relocates so that the space is open for work to resume or commence. Now, if I was in that community, I'd be very skeptical about abandoning my piece of land with what characteristics do I have that when this work is completed, I'll be the one that returns to that piece of land which I vacated. Do I have a piece of paper that I can enforce in a court of law that says this space was mine and when a house is built here, I will be returned and not somebody else being allocated? So what assurances do the people of Mandela Square have that if you decant the Nelson, when you've completed the project, which is happening to God knows how many years to come, if I were to follow the last part of the last presenter, talking about 2026 or something, if there is a change of government, government and the municipality thinks otherwise, and they simply abandon, because we have a history, especially in this life function, where you have lists that get tampered with or that get thrown in the dustbin, and new councils come in and they start to list afresh, and you wonder what happened to the list that go back to 1996. So really, I'm at a loss. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what we're achieving or have achieved, or what we're hoping to achieve in the circumstances. I do not have a sense of confidence in this from the National Department, and I think that's very diplomatic about it, and not calling out the province and the municipality, and this notion that they're having a joint presentation. What's joined about their presentation? Because I find two diametrically opposed observations before me. The nationalist clearly disillusioned and frustrated by lack of progress. I don't even remember for how long have this project been pending. And if the province, if it's true that the province saying they're not going to do anything until decanting has taken place, then if decanting doesn't take place, it means this project will never happen in 100 years. That's the reality as I understand it. So somebody must tell me that I've completely misunderstood what is before us, and that we have a much more positive story before us today than the skepticism I've just expressed. And if somebody can prove to me that I can get it wrong, so that comes in a year's time, when Magic Mandela Square, as the three houses and the original people who were meant to occupy those houses occupy, I'm prepared to sign 50 rand out of my salary and with Parliament towards the project, as personal commitment to making sure that this project sees the light of day. And finally, I just wanted to say, you know, I want to be proactive and challenge the province and the municipality to say, this is a black area, right? We've been complaining black areas in the Western Cape are underserviced and less considered, you know? And we are told that this is the best run municipality, the best run province, maybe in white areas. I think black areas, I'm sitting here and watching Mandela Square, and I'm not saying that good government, that best run municipality and province before me this morning. And I'm not sure how many other black areas in the Western Cape. Call me racist, I'll take the badge. But these things have to be called out for what they are. Let this province and this municipality convince me that they do not give priority along racial lines and underplay the crisis of black people in this province. I'm not attending to their situations that are urgent, with the urgency of tonight. I think I'll pause there, Chair. Very flattering. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank you.
Can I request that? Can you see?
Let's go!
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, I think this morning's presentation is a very good reflection of the many challenges that the Department of Human Settlements across the country, not just in one person.
Just gonna go to the aisle back in my room.
And I think it should call for a lot of reflection around how we deal with a lot of the things
a lot of those challenges. I'll start off with precisely what I have been raising the National Department around the housing list. And perhaps it is true that, you know, the urgency, I mean, Honorable Masika mentioned some urgency in some respects, but I would argue that perhaps the lack of urgency around prioritizing, you know, digitization of the, you know, housing beneficiary list is then the fruit of what we see, not just in this particular area, but across the country in many provinces and municipalities. And it's true, you know, and this list was lost, and that list is misplaced, and that list of beneficiaries aren't known. And but by admission in today's presentation, that is exactly what we heard. And I would want us to perhaps accelerate or, you know, ensure that there's better action, more urgent action around the beneficiary list. So that was the one thing that I realized, you know, I picked up, Chair. But I must acknowledge, Chair, that looking at my notes from the last time we had a presentation on this particular petition, all the action and gaps that we identified as a committee have been addressed. And I think, you know, the municipalities have highlighted some of the challenges that they are facing in terms of, you know, how quickly everything is happening, etc. But to acknowledge that they have at least gone as far as addressing the issues that we had asked them as a committee in the last session to go and make sure that they do and implement. So maybe that recognition, Chair, but I would like to urge us as a committee, being an oversight, to not be the people that are pointing the fingers, but to the people that are contributing towards the solution, as we see the many challenges being faced by many communities across the country, despite their demographics, which I think shouldn't be our concern, but rather the people's human rights to decent shelter, which is what should be our priority, Chair. I think I will stop there, Chair, but in essence, I think this particular project reflects the many, many challenges that many, many other areas of the country experience. And I think as a committee, we need to commit, you know, accelerate or at least increase our commitment towards holding the National Department accountable for showing leadership and ensuring that, you know, the environments are conducive for, you know, municipalities to manage, for example, beneficiary lists, for example, to manage relocations before projects are happening. All those issues are problems that we have seen in various areas with, you know, oversight, and I feel like as a oversight committee should be, you know, increasing the level of accountability in which we hold the Department of Human Settlements to. Thank you.
Councillor Mangali.
Thank you very much, and good morning, honorable members of the committee. I really feel disappointed on the presentation, and it seems now we don't go anywhere. The issue of playing politics is really took place. Chair, the issue of undermining and don't care about the black people, it's real.
Honorable Mangali, what's left here?
Can we proceed, Chair, and get back to him once he's reconnected?
Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I don't see any other hand. My question is to the province and the national participants.
the function for human settlement is mainly the function, the concurrent function between the children and national. And in the previous meeting, we have presented the framework for on the policies that you are accreditating municipalities based on the actual policies, no, something like that. And listening to the patient, I'm very worried about the development policy. That everybody must convince me how to particularly the problem for national, how do we continue giving such a study the accreditation to provide human settlement for people if there is no capacity, there is that lack of the Honorable Matisa has actually raised a lot of issues around how this has happened. And I don't see if we have to agree with the report in 2025 or 2025-26. Maybe any movement in terms of this report that we did, and looking at where, how far we have come from. Though I agree with the work that has been done, but particularly the purpose of the compliance issues, not to really do what is expected to have been done. And by the way, we have visited Mandela Square, the area where you're supposed to build houses. The five houses that I said, it was only one beneficiary. There was not two, three, four that we are talking about. And that is what I'm worried about, whether the project or national, you take it to the right area when you go to discuss this municipality. And even the attitude of the municipality itself, for you to not work about the city from the first place, there's the second thing they then become. I want somebody to convince me, why should you continue even better value municipality accredited them to build houses and continue to allocate and so without problems going down and giving them to the people. Unless it has said that somebody could convince me, why do we continue to give this municipality that is doesn't have capacity or doesn't have a will to deal with problems that is affecting people on the ground and continue relying on them to do certain work on the ground if they can't share their faith to that work. The second issue is that from both national and the profit, can we get the necessary cooperation from the municipality, or you are trying to be diplomatic and American people and I just want you to check, do we have this one, have great ability to study in this meeting, the political
don't see any honorable Master Yakovic to hear from.
Yes, Chair, if I'm helping out. It's actually a follow-up on some of the partners have just raised so that when they respond, they can improve my follow-ups. First of all, you raise the issue of concurrency. And that is confirmed in Project Curriculum back in 1998 already in the Constitutional Court, exactly that point. In fact, they go further to say all three spheres of government are jointly and severally liable to deliver on this mandate. So how this is implemented practically and how accountability is enforced is something that has never been clear to me. It's still not in this state. It's good, it's well and good for the national to tell us this money, all the frustrations that they're experiencing, diplomatically, with the province and the municipality. But why concretely able to do? Where are the agencies NHS or whatever, those agencies that they use to intervene by implementing projects from national, where there is no capacity at provincial and local level? And you also raise the issue of accreditation, Chair. I want to raise it from a slightly different angle to say, for me, this accreditation concept is problematic, to put diplomatic. Because if I sit back and be lazy, and therefore I do not qualify for accreditation, and therefore you take funding away from me, well, what do I lose? I still get my salary, you know. I might not have the budget to build houses, but I still have the budget to run my municipality and have council meetings and talk about all kinds of things and not implement anything. You know, where is the accountability there? You know, what about the people who were meant to benefit from the budgets that should have been passed and the funding that should have been allocated if accreditation has been granted because the municipality has taken the effort to make sure that they have the necessary capacity to implement. If they fail to do all of those things, what then? What about the people who are missing out because of no fault of their own and because the system is failing them? Who takes accountability for it? If we were to go to Constitutional Court today on this case, on this matter, think of what the court would say. They would even hit at us as this portfolio to say, where is your oversight? How do you enforce observations that you've made where non-delivery has taken place? How do you ensure accountability yourself as this portfolio committee? What will our answer be for ourselves? You know, here we are being taken for a ride and so on, and I understand the good doctor. I like you a lot, doctor, but you know that you're just trying to make your heart look nice and so on. But in the heart of hearts, you know that what we're hearing here is nothing but just a smoke screen. Most of the mirrors, there is nothing concrete here that has been presented, and you know it. You know, you just try to make them good, etc. It's your job, I understand. Sorry to do this to you, and you know in your heart of hearts.
Okay, you're going to allow this. Sorry, are you allowing this to happen?
I withdraw everything I said. Actually, good doctor. Nice. See, apologies, doctor. I withdraw everything I've said. That's fair. But the point still is that there is no problem.
you for withdrawing Honorable Masika because it's not helping the meeting and the Honorable Doctor is not in the municipality or in the province, it's part of the federal committee and has got the right to raise his own views around the issue. Thank you for withdrawing. Another doctor, I see you coming in.
Thank you, Chair. I actually think I'd rather not respond to Honorable Masika, but maybe one point I did want to make is the one that you make. I'm not here representing the GD. I'm here representing people of South Africa. I'm here performing my oversight duty. Hence, I had to reflect on what was presented the last night and respond to what we have been told today. So it's got nothing to do with trying to protect any political party. I'm not here to represent a political party. I'm here as a member of parliament to do oversight on work that is being told to us on a regular basis on specific projects, etc. So I really did find that out of what I'm very disappointed for. Thank you. And professional too, actually.
Thank you very much, Honorable Doctor and Honorable Masika. The reality of the matter, we have a responsibility to address the issues as forwarded from the portfolio committee without us irrelevant comments because people who have accounts that is the great available municipality and the department and provincial department and national. Okay, let's give them the response, the time to respond national. Let's start, can we see whether we have any positive great available structure? Who's here on behalf of the municipality?
Person on top of that, don't think they were intended to check to the people.
Why were they not invited?
Good day, Chair. We did receive an invite.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
However, I'm not a political head, so I don't think my answer would make any.
Okay. The municipality board is divided. They are not here. I want us to go to that. Okay, let's go to the province to report. Province, who's here?
Good morning, Chair. Again, I'm now over. I am not the political head either. I'm the official. So I just want to give some input on the accreditation question. Someone has administered the procedure. The province does not have the accreditation of the Dingo Valley Municipality in the 2024-25 accreditation plan. The municipality or the council is submit an input to the minister to the province of the intention to apply for accreditation. And to my understanding, Dingo Valley has not shown an intention of applying for accreditation. They're not just, they're not in the 2024-25 business plan. The municipalities that are in our business plan is Stellenbosch and George to begin discussions in terms of accreditation. And then municipalities, as those two particular municipalities were identified through the National Department as the hardest to city. There are a few others, but these two were identified. Municipalities that were not identified as intermediate priorities, which have sent some indication to the province through the council of intention to apply for accreditation. In Sultana Bay and Mossel Bay, I know the Mossel municipality was through the intention, and then, of course, they intended that they wanted a different intention to the Zimbabwe Council. So the talk for them to look at this in case if the portfolio committee and indication that leader values are not at this point showing intention to apply for accreditation. From a planning perspective, we at the
before you go to Ms. Agus, then why do you keep pressing really from policy budget for providing women houses in it? If they are not, you have not accredited the presentation of the casting again of the petition salary, the allocated money to pay thousands in Bread Development. So, this money in Bread Development salary, because Bread Development salary does not. Has not performed the function of providing housing in the area. To get that clarity so that I don't get to proceed on.
My apologies for interrupting the person. The government and the citizens upgrading for this plan. All of our municipalities follow a defined schedule. From project initiation in the context of being project subsidized, so all municipalities need to implement project initiation. To check if projects within the best that have been tried for by the different municipalities, the indication that is shown on the part. That is almost a 15 years, then we will be applied for development rights in the future, which we mentioned earlier, once these things have been the different rights. Once the right time says, we define provincial committee. So we've got a provincial planning committee. That's the essentially the initiation phase. But a provincial park, which is our grant advisory committee, where all the applications for all the three municipalities are considered in terms of readiness, which is the National Department's readiness notice, and then assigned budgets based on readiness. And then we have a project approval committee, which will look at the specific applications that various municipalities, such as the government has made, to ensure alignment to all of the things I mentioned earlier. So we do support municipalities, not just the physical municipalities, only a physical municipality in the Western Cape City of Cape Town. The other municipalities have not level 1 accreditation or level 2 accreditation. Our sector by strategy paper.
Nashla?
Thank you, Chair, and to yourself, Chair. Chair, I don't know if I'm going to apologize for sounding systematic, but Chair, deeply, we've also been frustrated with the process of trying to really find a way to make this happen. I think, Chair, frustration starts with the municipality, and we just spoke earlier on, and being part of that process, but I think the frustration has been to really see the urgency of the municipality side on the Manila State. We haven't got that, Chair. Chair, I think just hearing the comments, Chair, the next step, and Camilla has touched on it, we have reviewed the business plan for 2024-25, and we did indicate to province and municipality we want to see further allocation to the Manila State in part two, those business plans we just received. So the next step, and perhaps I should have raised it in my presentation to the is to ensure, and province knows that we're not just approving business plans because what we receive must be approved, but we go through a rigorous process with the province and as well as with our own chief internal unit with the department to ensure that the priorities that an for example, human genocide would be one of those things reflecting status in terms of what needs to be reflected for this financial year in the business plan. We've not approved the business plan last year. And there's been a lot of negotiations that have actually happened with the various problems about how are some of these priorities and concerns and communities are really being addressed in the business plan. So, Chair, I'm just reassuring with you that we are right now in this week engaging with the various provinces on what projects and what priorities our provinces responding to. Are these greater value receiving the attention that should be receiving? It needs to be changed. We have to elevate this to a level that ensures that we get the necessary allocation of funding to, because that's the issue here for funding. All of the actions that we outlined needs to happen now and immediately in this new financial year 2024-25. But it really is about the province and national now sitting down with what we've got for 2024-25. As I showed you, there's no money going specifically to the demonstrated part two. The money that is being allocated is for the relocation. So we really need to find each other between ourselves and province and how we prioritize this in the business plan. So that's the next step in this week that we are going to, we actually engage with the various provinces now, and I think Western Cape, we are meeting next week sometime on the business plan. Chair, on the project management and the capacity of municipalities, we raise it with the municipalities. And I think Honourable Member indicated that one of the entities that we identified is for the Housing Development Agency. There is an agreement in province and the Housing Development Agency for the Western Cape. I just don't know what the specific projects are. But with one province to prioritize Vera Valley as one of those projects that HDA probably intervene and really just take over project managing this for a period of time so that it's not left not attended to, it's got full time dedicated capacity. Chair, I think I think Camilla covered the issue of accreditation, but you know, Chair, I think the issue there is that no municipality should be allowed to credit for accreditation if they're not already able to deliver on what their core responsibilities are, whether it's basic services, whether it's housing. So, Vera Valley is what is just core. This is just a map in Vera Valley, but it's nowhere near the location, and I don't think people should be considered for that. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not sure if the EG wants to add anything.
Did you have that? Or did you bring down?
Okay, let me first allow the different families to be able to be that we know they've been covered by Rashmi and Camilla, and then if there's still anything else from Camilla, but I want to see that another one.
Yes, I do have a follow-up, Chair, but if you prefer them to first respond, allow it.
Yes, let me respond.
Did you hear me somewhere? Are you covered? Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think I'm covered by the resources provided by Eva. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Honourable Chairperson, my colleagues and members, my colleagues have covered me. I think I would have wanted to elaborate on the issue of the accreditation, and I think that I should have covered it. Chair, I do want to indicate that the observation of the members is correct in terms of what Honourable Masuta and what Honourable Kumalo said, that we are equally frustrated, and we will be working very closely with the province to make sure that this is attended to. I think Rashmi has actually covered what I would have wanted to cover in terms of the business plan, but Danny has prayed together with Dilip Mshongo, and this is what we will be using as a leverage to wave the province to make sure that this this project is on their business plan in making sure that they begin to work on this. The presentation that was made by Rashmi from National Chess, yes, I understand because the members, this has been going on for too long. I think they based on the engagement we had with the present 3 years of government, we were able to come up with some of the areas that we have agreed that they should actually start yielding results between by at least at the academics by end of June citizen. It is reflected on the presentation. And that deep dive we did in November and beginning of December, we became aware of some of the things that we were not aware of that caused delays, which have been delayed for the longest time in the municipality. So, Chair, we are going to make sure that this is something to be part of the business plan. So far, in terms of what has been received, Jefferson, this is the analysis that the colleagues are doing to present to the minister. And that's why we say we will actually not allow to continue, even though it's not going to be everything at once in terms of the business plan and the budget allocation, but yes, we want to see it as part of the business plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. Advocate?
No, thanks, Chair, and my apologies for keep coming back this morning. I'm really Chair. This is really frustrating. I can't hide my frustration, and that's why I keep on coming back. But let me start by actually agreeing with Dr. Khumalo on one thing. And again, mea culpa, Doctor, my earlier comments were uncalled for, like against you. So I'll apologize about that. But just on this one point that you made, that national has to also take responsibility here. There's a whole number of areas where national intervention could have taken us up. The whole issue, firstly, of the left being digitized. I mean, we can't be talking about this 30 years down the line. That list gets chopped and changed at will because it depends on who comes in and who goes out in municipalities and is left up to them. And bring back the issue that the Chair had raised of concurrency and of powers in this portfolio. You know, Chair, I gave an example previously that we took over government in 1994. We were confronted with 13 different administrations to administer social grants. And after those grants, those powers were assigned to the provinces, and we realized that we're going to end up with 9 different social security systems for the people of this country. We said, no, we are retrieving the entire function to national. And we were threatened with constitutional challenges, provinces who felt that we're taking away powers from them, and we said, let's go to court, that we're going to do this. And we did it. And today there is a single social assistance system in South Africa with one budget, with one delivery system, where every South African, regardless of where they are, they qualify for the continue to have lack of accountability indefinitely. It can't be right. It can't be constitutional change. And the constitution in situations such as this, that's why you have section 100 and section 139 of the constitution, where in section 100, the national government can intervene if the province or a province, when that 2 billion rand issue came up, it was placed under administration. Whether that administration was effective or not is a different day. I mean, it's a different issue. And if you wanted to know what happened to the criminal case involved, if you invite me to a nice lunch, I can give you some as former Minister of Justice, where to deal with the matter at the time. But that's a discussion for another day. But the point here is the Constitution does provide tools to national, to province, to intervene. This thing of we don't qualify for accreditation, so we won't give you accreditation. The cop-out, the English cop-out of the record. Reality is you can deprive them of accreditation, but what then? You should be going in those municipalities that you have not accredited and assume their responsibilities as a province to ensure that delivery takes place if the municipality is not prepared to actually discharge their functions. Put them aside, take over their powers, and start implementing. The Constitution envisaged that and made provision for it, and this has been implemented in the history of this constitutional democracy several times. Where are we dealing here? What is the problem? Chair, I'll pause there. Thank you.
Dr. William Peter.
Thank you very much. I'm on the way to a meeting that I'm going to be so good to signal faith. But I'd like to cover the comments by Honorable Masuti. Of course, I mean that in relation to the substance of the delivery of the housing project. Not covered by the other aspects that you subsequently include. Let's tell you that after all the matter here, I'm a member of the committee, although they are welcome. But I just want to suggest that I've been to be responsible for the municipality, for the province, and so on. The problem sort of is that everyone is the national is constituted, but the province somehow powerless, and the municipality is not quite sure what to do. In charge of all the processes. I want to suggest that we just, in the next meeting, we invite the minister and the industry for human services to come and give us a joint plan that solves the problem which we have in the issue of the reliability of the beneficial use, part of what is the issue of relocation and assurances of people having come back to be able to get their own station to come back. Of course, the housing development that has to be really important, so that nothing becomes as vague as the issue actually as it sounds. So my proposal is that we invite the municipality, we invite the province, the fiscal minister, everybody can leadership, because those things, that has come together. They have come together to present
don't have a situation where you know, we come in here to listen to everyone who's crying, who's frustrated, who's traumatic, who wants to put that aside. And then deliver a clear demonstration when the leadership comes here. So I would just want to say from this proposal, let's get all three spheres from our country committee, give them guidelines, give them all the issues of our content, and then just basically we'll come back and talk about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the way forward. Because this issue has to be concluded and the last year is forward. How many days left for the call? Within 7 days, Minister has to convene the youth council with the convention and local services. And then actually develop that conference plan as a computer is proposed, answering to those issues that honorable members have been raising here, and both the political heads must get to convince, work with the municipality and because it is very clear that actually we've been saying interacting, that's why the municipality has not been part of this meeting because of the, they don't have any role to play in this, because the role in terms of the constitution is the province and national. To the province, but because the project that is implemented by the province and national, which is actually what the municipality, even the issue of beneficiary identification is part of the provision of housing, and therefore it's easier to ability to choose to the government. We give them 7 days to meet as the 3 years of government, and then and Colossal check at the date that you can, after 7 days, to actually bring them here, and view all the avenues of the parliament to get this, all of them to be in the committee. No apology must be accepted for them to come and give us a concrete plan and tell us when is that project going to be finalized, the Mandela 2652 something in line with that petition. So the maximum would then be the maximum time would then be extended in trying to open my calendar. Today's the day. On Wednesday of the 20th, of the 20th, they must come back to come in and present the concrete plan on the matter after they have convinced themselves. And the answer that we need, if the province is unable to do the job that it is best to get those people to get housing to them,
and the province must tell us what it does operate in terms of the processes that they have pushed through, what is it that they are going to do as a province, because they have power to do that. And in the process, both the minister and the agency must go and address the people of the area around this matter. They must work with that community. If members want to add anything, that's what I'm proposing, is to finalize this matter. Anybody wants to Honorable Matuta?
I fully agree with your proposal way forward, and I'd also like to endorse Dr. Mkhize's intervention, which I think is on point. It sums up some of the suggestions that I've also made. I raised specific constitutional issues. And this is in the context of us, as the national parliament, also having a duty to ensure that not only national, but also spheres of government fulfill their constitutional. But here we're not just talking about legal obligation. We're talking about constitutional obligation. The right to housing is contained in the Bill of Rights. The Constitutional Court has pronounced itself on it. And it has clearly put the responsibility, as I said earlier, on all three spheres of government. So it's a constitutional matter, Chair. And we can't be seen as this affordable committee to be sought when it comes to holding people accountable, especially when it comes to implementing the Constitution itself. You remember the criticism that the Constitutional Court leveled on us over other matters and our inability to hold, the second estate, namely the executive sphere, accountable. So this is a business test on us as well. How far are we prepared to go to ensure constitutional accountability here? So I'll propose that, therefore, in that vein, these three spheres tell us what their understanding of their respective constitutional and joint constitutional responsibilities are, and how they intend to fulfill their constitutional obligation in relation to this matter. Concretely, I would appreciate it if it's stated in writing so that nobody later says that we misquote it. But I think the question should be put in writing. And when they're invited here, there must be a set of questions that are given to them. 3, 5, 6 questions, whatever, that require concrete and clear written responses that are going to be spoken to, and not just off the cuff, a kind of a laissez faire. Responses, verbal responses only. But where they do verbal presentation, it's in substantiation of what was already put in response in writing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm happy to ask on the is the hand of
that we did it. Please don't take us there. It's definitely not representative, sir. My hand was not up in trying to respond to what the members that the comment yourself with the request that we welcome and I wouldn't have raised my hand second, but I think it's because of the indication that we should be back on that day. And I raised my hand to request the possible chat that we could an alternative date. The reason why I'm not requesting that is because as early as yesterday we had our meeting with the minister and she indicated that the senior that must be their last cabinet, and I think she raised that basically giving an emphasis in terms of all of the work that we still have to do with them and the fact that they have been all of them are expected to attend that one. So with all respect, Chairperson, I would request that we will be giving an alternative date to the 20th of March. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martha. Can members avail to the results of the... Can we apply for the second members to Friday?
From my side, I'll put aside anything else. Whatever they choose.
Honourable members, can we apply for the 22nd of March? Because we said we give them 7 days, working days for them to make the move and come with that on the 22nd. Do you agree on that date, honourable members? Thank you very much. Let's go to the second item.
I will be presenting chair, but before I do that, maybe in the meantime, I will first colleagues to assist on flight. Then I see President Mafisa's hand is up.
No, it's a legacy hand, Chair. Let me remove it. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Oh, Chair, I see Camilla's hand is also up.
Thank you, Chair Boston. I would like to see the hand in the case and the policy is too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you
very much, Linda. We gave you to today.
Dr. Perez, may I request that you assist with the presentation? Thank you. Sorry, if you have challenges, then may I request that you please grant me a sharing right to assist you. Thank you so much, Rashmi. Chairperson and honourable member, this is a report on the former Uyghur petitioner that touches on the city of Kwale, the Afghan Department of Human Settlements, Northwest Department of Human Settlements, as well as the Northwest Council Corporation Chair. We can go to the next slide. I think we can skip this one. Chair, I wouldn't want to draw members to the background and the purpose. Members are familiar with this. We've presented quite a number of times here. We can then go through the... But if this indicates, Chair, I think the presentation maybe, let me not waste what is happening. What is of critical importance for members to know to check the phone is that currently there is a stalemate in terms of this process. And this is informed by a number of issues, particularly on the side of City of Kwale. And they have also made the application very clear on the 12th of December when we had a meeting together with the Public Protector Chair on a number of issues. And that's the reason why members will see that not much has actually been done in terms of the work that was expected on their side, purely on the basis of what I will be presenting to them and what they have said with the Public Protector on that day. We can go to the next slide. I think let's skip the next slide and go straight to the table. We can skip this one as well. Jefferson, on this one, members will recall the matter in relation to Ms. Bongo, who was made an offer. And at this point in time, Jefferson, the timeline of the that they had initially said, I'm focusing more on the last column that talks to action and time frame. Previously, what we presented to the members was that the City of Kwale had initially agreed that they will approve the house plan of Ms. Bongo by November, and they were intending to appoint a contractor and make sure that they commence with the construction of the 50 square meter house for Ms. Bongo by January, with the intention to complete the construction by end of February. That has not happened, Chairperson. And this is because of what I'm going to be presenting on the next slide. That now, on the 12th of December, City of Kwale then presented to Public Protector to say, one, at this point in time, they are wary of proceeding with anything to assist the petitioners. It's purely on the basis that the petitioners are refusing to accept the 50 square meter houses. Now, they can approve a plan of a house that may not be accepted. They can approve the appointment of the contractor who is meant to construct a house that is not going to be accepted. And now they have decided that they will not move beyond the point where they are in terms of the two petitioners, which is the previous one, the bank as well as the new one. And as we speak, Chairperson, they have decided to seek a legal opinion on their side. And the legal opinion is focusing on two issues in as far as the Mawiga petitioners matter is concerned. One, they want to see if they can be able to set aside some kind of a funding within their institution and use that funding to rather pay these two petitioners money to go and construct their own houses. Their argument is that the appointment of the contractors will not actually assist. It's not economically viable for them, it's not economically viable for the contractors. The two petitioners, they stay far apart from each other, meaning that there should be two contractors that must be appointed, and they only should be appointed for construction of one house, because at this point in time, they don't have any construction or contractors on site in some of these areas. The second matter that they want legal, the legal opinion to assist them on is that, considering that they have taken the report of the Public Protector for a review, should they be continuing to entertain anything and everything that has to do with these three petitioners? Shouldn't they put everything on hold and wait until such time that process is unfolding? And as a result of that, because they still have not obtained that legal opinion, then they have decided they will not be actually continuing in as far as these two petitioners are concerned. So as we speak, not much has actually happened in as far as these two petitioners are concerned. When we go to the third petitioner, which is still also their responsibility, and that would be Mere. Mere is the one who already has a house
around Karankua. But the challenge there is the fact that the municipality doesn't own the land in that area. And that the farm is got different portions, and one of the portions is where the house of Mr. Mera is located. They have had an engagement with the National Department of Public Works to determine the ownership of the land. And I think in that meeting then they were made aware by the Department of Public Works that that farm does not belong to them and they will not be able to access. And to that effect, they have since had an engagement with Mr. Mera to try and persuade him to agree to an alternative site that they can actually access on. And Mr. Mera has completely refused to be given an alternative area. He wants to actually remain in that area. And they're saying, as far as Mr. Mera is concerned, they will not be able to proceed and do anything. Even if the legal opinion were to come back favoring the petitioner, but this one is where they actually will not be able to do anything. The other petitioner, Chairperson, is in relation to Mr. Khaswa is the responsibility of Northwest Department of Human Settlements, and the feedback we received from the Department of Human Settlements is that they have since reached an agreement with Mr. Khaswa. He has recently accepted the 50 square meter house. They have identified an area where they have a contractor around Mukwasa municipality, who is currently busy with the construction of the military base houses. They are just finalizing their SPM processes just to formalize the additional units that need to be located to that particular contractor. So basically, that's where we are today. We are not really making progress in this regard, and this is where what I raised at the beginning of the meeting said, in terms of the view of the minister, to say going forward, it would be prudent to make sure that all these other parties, they form part of the engagement in as far as the Mawika of the petitioners are concerned. The rest of the information is information that members are familiar with, other than the three, the four areas that I have accounted for. I would want to pause at this point and raise the members a challenge based on the challenges that we are currently facing with regards to the Department of City of Bali. The last one, Chair, basically what we did at a later stage around October, November, we did write to the MM of the City of Bali, which was on the 31st of October last year, where we were requesting them to give us a progress report in terms of the investigation, and our intention was to be able to follow up on the principles management with regards to the officials who were responsible for all the challenges that we are currently grappling with Chairperson that resulted into this poor petitioner. Unfortunately, our letter has never responded to check, and we have brought it to the attention of the current DG to follow up with the MM so as to be finished with the report. And we also did try to get some confirmation, Chairperson, members, where they also raised this matter, particularly yourself, Chairperson. We did want to get assurance from the City of Sunny that they did file for with the court to actually for their review of the public protector's report. And they have confirmed that they did file 2 years ago. Because we remember, Chairperson, in the last meeting, members were not even sure that they filed, and what we were aware of was the fact that there was an indication that they have since confirmed that they did file with the court to take the matter for review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, that is the Mawika report. All the plans that were applied to the previous meeting, two has not been implemented, except
my guest the members to talk to the issue. Honorable Matisa and the Honorable Matisa, your right to talk.
Thank you, Chair.
Then Honorable Seju, follow me.
Yes, I missed a bit on the Northwest one regarding progress there. I lost the presenter a bit on that score. But with regard to the question of compensation, financial compensation as a more affordable and practical solution. Firstly, I just wanted to understand the rejection by the aggrieved complainant. What were the reasons and what was the alternative that he was put on the table? I think I didn't follow properly in that regard. And I can't recall what the public protector's recommendation in that regard was. The offer to provide alternate land, was it about size, was it about location that resulted in the complainant rejecting the offer? What are the exact circumstances? I can't quite recall what happened to the actual land itself, the original land that he had to then relocate it from. Lost. So I'm a bit trying to recollect my memory around some of those points. But just in relation to the public protector's intervention, I would have thought that given the powerful tool that the public protector has, that has been confirmed by the Constitutional Court, that the remedial action of the public protector is binding. I would have expected that remedial intervention to include holding the relevant officials accountable, together with the municipality perhaps, if the municipality seems to be stalling on the issue of compensation. Then the department indicates their effort to get the municipality to respond thereto has fallen on deaf ears. Why not submit this to the public protector with the possibility of the public protector issuing a further remedial action calling for consequence management by the municipality on the officials concerned? If I recall well, the officials had since left the service of the municipality, I can't recall, and therefore that was the reason why no action was taken against them in the form of a disciplinary hearing. But I can't recall how far they were in so far as laying criminal charges against the official concern for what is seems to have been a fraudulent conduct, which is criminal, if that is the case. So if I could just clarify my, trying to wrap my head around those issues in relation to this particular matter or case. But my concern is, if there is a standoff, what then happens? The matter does get left. What is the way forward? You then leave it to the affected complainant to bring legal action, or what? How do you see this thing reaching its finality? Because I think you have some responsibility towards ensuring that matters do reach finality. Obviously, you can't force people to sign up papers to take up whatever recourse that you're offering. It's still up to them to accept or reject. But if they reject, what's your understanding of what happens next? And I was a bit concerned by a remark which I didn't quite understand, that even if legal opinion comes in favor of the complainant, we will still not do 1, 2, 3. What do you mean exactly by that? Are you saying to us that even if the law required to do such a thing should not of defiance, you will simply disregard the law and do what you are convinced is what you want to do? I didn't understand that comment, because that would the constitution in the founding provision, which is the foundation of our entire democratic and constitutional and legal order, talks about the rule of law. Now, if you're telling me now that even if you're given a legal opinion that the law requires you to do certain things, but just because you can choose not to do them, you have license to do that. I mean, that's a highly unconstitutional statement, as far as my understanding goes. So I'm sure I have missed something in what you've said there. Because if you confirm that that's exactly what you said and that's exactly what you mean, then I'll encourage you to correct that statement. Because especially as an official of government, you have the obligation to comply with the constitution and the rule of law. So say the constitution in the founding provision. So tell me that's not what you meant, or that's not even what you said. I'll take that. Thank you, Chair.
You know, there's one thing that you have observed yesterday. That it's like the department works based on our media. This report doesn't reflect what we have written. We have said they are crazy.
You have muted, Chair. I don't know if it can be.
I think that the department can be certain, what is the department of the 14 days? Can they give us a report? That talks to what we have agreed in the beginning. Because the issues that these people, according to the public sector, according to what we have agreed, it has been resolved on paper. The issue now is for these people to have their name. That's all what is remaining. I'm just not convinced on the report. The issue of Mr. Mira, we were told to share business interests on that paper. And Mr. Mira told us, and I think the department told us, there are many individuals and businesses that have got interest on that. Immediately when Mr. Mira moves out, I can tell you that property will be owned by a party. It's not that. Have a disadvantage of it. So I would request that can we do the right thing and do whatever we have to do for those properties to be converted into Mr. Lane. And then in the next report, I wish to have all cases, including their grief. So now is the last leg of our administration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Secretary. You know, the difficulty that I'm having is that if one is saying that the chief petitioner will reject the first solution when there was an argument around that, and the issue of the land, maybe just to check whether it is finalized, because the land that we are available to the development corporation produce a petitioner. The question is the issue of the land, is the land is transferred in their hands besides the district furniture house. Secondly, that the petitioners to reject the district furniture, because it was explained to them that the government can only deal with that parameter. But if the future of one is saying they are opting to take legal advice, whether they can maintain the housing as proposed to build, what will then be, whether it is going to affect the land that we give it by the development corporation to those beneficiaries. What does that mean? On the issue of Mr. Nero, you know, I don't even understand what Fahni now is talking about, because the issue was for the last meeting, Honorable Bekki, he told that those areas were not declaration, something like that.
Township
and establishment. And the way Twane had committed to follow the process of establishing the township, including not only on the side here, including the entire area of Karamdua and all those areas that were not proclaimed, so that Mr. Nyeram can get his township, even if it's a title deed. And I don't understand this thing of public weather, public weather feature is, because the land, the issue of the land is that the land was never, nobody was ever said the land was public. The issue was that Swane must proclaim that area as a township so that the nearest can get a title deed and he can then be able to do business. So can we get clarity of what is happening now? Because what are you speaking to one person on this matter, or you're speaking to various different people attending to this? Because one of the things when we deal with the petition is that though the issue has been through the public protest, our interest
I think maybe the petitioners themselves, they might have forgotten that if they rejected that issue so little, that one of the issues was that they would say you are staying on the street. And then with them said, customs of South Africa cannot allow such things to happen. In the process of redressing this issue, let's allow department in collaboration with the housing department of human settlement and the Tshwane to give to assist one another in building housing for that, and the development cooperation which owns the land has given the land for those beneficiaries. But if they are saying that the beneficiary is rejected, the system will make them and they are unable to move in, they have to take the matter to legal advisor, as you are saying, and they think the option might be to pay. And if the option would be to pay, I think it might be that they pay the two houses with, at the rate of the market rate of today, and those people can then be able to buy their houses. But my problem is when they are saying if the legal advice take in favor of the petitioners, they will not move. They still hang on the issue of taking public protector report to court, which is their democratic right, and we are not saying they must not do that. But the issue is now, Tshwane has to proclaim this area so that those people can have their own title deed and build. If that process of them giving the money happens, then the people can then use that money to build their own boat. So can we get clarity? Because we will still say that let's not confuse the two issues of the public protector and what the issue of the petition and the development cooperation has been. I think we should recognize that by availing land and the issue is trying to proclaim those areas for people to get their taxes. Because even combine the two, the 50 square meter and the two and the land issue, then it's becoming a problem. Can we get those clarity before even we go to the particular honorable thing?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable member. Chair, starting on the issue of rejecting the system itself, but in the last, I think the policy is similar to the same in the previous strategy that the committee had in the petitioner and all other successful. In the previous meeting that we did, it does look like they had rejected. But they requested to be told to be housing, and we wanted to believe that on the basis of what we saw, they then took the decision that they will not accept the housing. Now, beyond that point, the last time we presented, does look like the petitioner around Northwest, Mr. Lidiwani, and Mr. NS Hazard,
has written a contract to the department and similarly, with the letter, the bank owns the under the City of Paris. Also, recently, it has accepted the city equimeter house. After they had, all of them said that they will not accept those houses as small. Now, what we are left with is Lidiwane as well as Mia. Lidiwane in terms of the house, and Mr. Nirek in terms of the casualty. I think all the time, Chairperson, with regards to Mr. Nirek, it was a casualty. But the challenge we're sitting with now is that Ms. Sebeng is not even benefiting because of the challenges that are being raised by people of funds, despite the fact that Ms. Sebeng has been accepted the business from the house. Now, going back to Mr. Mere, the piece of area that he currently sits is in a bigger farm, and the bigger farm has various portions, and those portions are owned by different people. We have been consistent on that fact to say it's owned by Medusa, it's owned by RSA, and they are understanding all the time by people of Paris that RSA is at the west. And I then indicate where customers come in all of the time. And it's owned by a private owner with a private person. Now, the understanding of Fanny was that all they need from RSA to public work is the power of actually, so that then they can be able to assist with the township establishment and be able to benefit everyone, including the community, with the title deed. Now, with the recent engagement that they had with Public Works, the part of the land that fallen on the it belongs to Public Works. It no longer belongs to Public Works. Public Works seemingly says to them, we don't own the land, we don't know who it belongs to, but the last time we had, the provincial government wanted to approach whoever the owner is and request for that piece of land to be donated to them, so that they can be able to be used for development purposes. City of Kwane is currently trying to understand who owns the land. They are planning to engage the provincial department, wanting to know whether the department has money to secure ownership of that land. So at this point in time, because they don't know who owns the land, they took an initiative to bring the matter to the attention of the Senate and made a proposal to say to resolve the matter, and the fact that we don't own this piece of land, we don't know who owns it, not even government owns it, can we issue something else somewhere so that then at least we know that we have a land and we can be able to assist with the title deed so that we have ownership of that piece of land, which will be a collective one, and that's the one that we have to do. Meaning that based on the legal agreement, if you are confused with the letter, then they will still pursue the angle of trying to understand who is the owner with the engagement that they may want to have with the provincial government on the purchase. Now, when it comes to Mr. Feng, together with, Mr. Feng and together with Mr. Edwin, these are the two petitioners that the city of Paris is zero. I'm now putting the matter of Mr. Nurek aside, because it's not a house matter, it's a title deed matter, and there was an attempt on the side of the municipality on that one. Coming to the business permitter for the two petitioners that I've just mentioned, Mr. Dimani and Ms. Kigay. This is where now there is no progress on Ms. Kigay, who has been accepted the business permitter. Mr. Dimani has been to accept, so out of the four petitioners, Mr. Dimani is the only one that left. It all seems to go in this form. Kwane is saying, and I want to apologize to the maybe I didn't capture this correctly. Kwane is saying, at this point in time, as the division of human settlements, they have taken a decision and they made a proposal to their city manager that instead of appointing contractors to
going to construct a house for Ms. Kipane. And this is Ms. Kipane alone because Ms. Kipane didn't want to see the refugees. It's not going to be economically viable. They would rather propose that they create the funding internally from their own funds and be able to compensate for the purpose of the house, Honorable Matuka, not the other compensation, and compensate, use that money to compensate to then construct the house of control at the center of the city center. Now, as they were preparing for that, they then got questions to say, whatever you do, even if you take a decision to pay, you need to seek legal opinion as to whether you can still be able to proceed with the matter of the Nawida petitioner, despite the fact that as the city, you have taken the report for a review. This is the legal opinion that now they are seeking internally to say, can we pay them instead of constructing? That's number one. But even if we can construct or pay, can we still continue to deal with the issues that the Nawida petitioner, considering that as the system has taken this matter for the review, so that then they are able to be given a go-ahead or an indication of guidance on both issues. Yes, you can go ahead and pay as an alternative to construction, and yes, you can go ahead and empathize or still resolve the matter of the petitioner, irrespective of the fact that you have taken the matter to court. Or maybe the legal opinion will say no on both, or it will say no on one and say yes on the other one. That is the direction that they are taking. I may not have presented that matter properly because the members, I hear from the comments of the members that I may have actually used the wrong language there. I sincerely apologize. Chairperson, let me go back to the issues that were raised by Honorable Matuka. And I think my approach in going back to those issues there, I would want to reflect on the conversation, or rather the discussion we had with the committee the last time we met. Chairperson, the last time we met, we were very clear to say, yes, we are not dealing with the matter of the Mawida on the basis of the public protector report. We were not cited, and we that is a matter that resides with another sphere of government. We are handling the matter on the basis that there was a petition that was lodged with the Procedure Committee of Human Settlements and as the National Department that we were accepting. And at that point in time, we then further indicated that so far what has been transpired as progress is that the Northwest Housing Corporation has actually compensated all four petitioners an amount of 10,000. They have accepted this, but later came back and said it's not enough, which then gets to prove that from time to time the petitioners, one minute they do accept what is being offered, and later on they then want to renege on what happened. They have accepted it. The second part was the size of the housing. And when we then had to go, we were compelled to have them to go back to the public protective report of the department just to get an understanding and a sense of exactly what is going wrong, why are they rejecting everything that is being offered to them. On the report, public protective report, the remedial action in terms of the extra care payment had no amount of capacity. It was a reasonable amount. And that we understand that the Northwest Corporation, Housing Corporation, has used whatever calculations arriving at the amount of 10,000 as a reasonable amount that has paid to the year. Similarly, with the house protection, the remedial action in terms of shelter for the petitioner regress the injustice regress the injustice capital. It didn't prescribe the size of the house that needs to be offered to the petitioner as a corrective measure. It only said the municipality should provide shelter for the petitioner, and the 50 square meter was within the policy of government, which is what the policy says the government can actually offer in terms of the sizes of the houses. And lastly, Chairperson, with regards to the issue of the process management,
by getting that we wrote to the municipality, we are clearly on those basis. Yes, Honorable Matuta, you are correct that previously there was an indication that some of these officials have since left the institution, but still we wrote because we have an understanding that they can still pursue some of these matters criminally, and that's the response that we were expecting to get, which we did not get as a department, and hence as the matter has still been brought to the attention of the DC, so that then we can follow up with the city manager in trying to get a proper understanding and a response in as far as the conference management is concerned. And the conference management is based on two reports, one is that of the public affairs for which they handed their disposal, much as they actually taken for review. But secondly, as a city, they also went further and conducted their own investigation on the matter, and we want to know what action has been taken place to hold everybody accountable who has been found wanting in as far as they are concerned. Thank you, Chief.
Unfortunately, the petitioners are not here just to give us the reasons why they rejected the fiscal permit. So that was the basis of the petition, that we agreed we will assist them for them to get the help, because the petition was saying that we have lost our properties, those irregularities, but we then said that we don't actually want to interfere with the public protection, the media action of protocol. But what we need to do, because the processes of the cases take long on their nature, therefore we should then see how does it of human judgment, not of constitutional court or one, to assist to get a shelter over their head. And as I'm saying, I'm so disappointed that we had hoped that the development cooperation is a vague land, which they chose and placed on the land. The last meeting that we had, that then we then said to the Department of Housing and Funds, through the National Department, because of the allocation that has been done to institute, we can then give them the house, which for now the policy talks about the biggest square meter that we have in the given to military veterans. And unfortunately, if those positions were saying they don't want to permit us, they have land. But my worry is the Samiran issue, which is the proclamation. And I don't know if one is saying the can't. The Medusa and the urban system somewhere, which is not the secret in the land that is not proclaimed, and how possible it is. And that is really, we don't know the RSA, not how to work with and because that matter, the question that I've heard you sent my last question. Where that one is, they went back to the development corporation because the land belongs to the development of Northwest Development Corporation, because they would know who's the owner of the land, besides if there is that confusion of the RSA etc. Honorable Matuta, you are raising your hand.
Yes, Chair, it's a follow-up
Yeah.
It's exactly on this RSA point that you just alluded to. You see, this kind of vague answers just leave us completely paralyzed. To say nobody knows who owns a piece of land, and that they are investigating that, whoever is investigating, what kind of investigation are they conducting with who? Because as far as my understanding goes, when it comes to the right of ownership, is that the only way that ownership can be established over a piece of land is through a title. And the lower level of ownership, which of blacks could, in black areas could acquire, was in the form of so-called deed of grant, which was so close to ownership and so close to a title deed. And below that you had lease in different forms, which is not ownership, but is a right to occupy and use land or immovable property. Now, when it comes to ownership, whether it's in the form of a deed of grant or a title deed, there would be a piece of document called a title deed that is actually in the custody of the deed office, and that title deed will state clearly a description of the land as surveyed, and any rights that flow from that title deed over that land that accrues to whoever is stated there, and any conditionalities that is there too, and all the information about whoever registered that title deed in the first place. You know, their name, their address, and all other information regarding that person. So I honestly am trying to understand where the problem really is here in being unable to establish ownership. Now, even if the land belongs to the state, you know, that will come clear in the third department's records. The public works department exercises various responsibilities with regard to public immovable assets on behalf of actual government entities and departments, which would be the underlying ownership, but the ownership would then be exercised through work, as I understand it. And maybe that system can be better clarified by the state office itself or public works itself. I still fail to understand what makes it so difficult to establish. Now, if the situation is that the land is not owned by anyone, let it be clear also, so that we can deal with the issue as such and establish under those circumstances how to deal with it. But all the reason why the affected complainant, if I were him, would have any suspicion or every suspicion of foul play here. Somebody is trying to hide information here for whatever reason, hopefully not nefarious, or is fading to actually do the simple thing of really putting forward the true and available information about ownership rights with regard to this land. You know? So really, Chair, I just find this whole situation very odd. Who has been servicing this land in terms of the municipal records? Because land ultimately is administered by a municipality in the sense that there is municipal rates that have to be paid by a person whose identity should be known. If it's a deceased estate that owns it, that deceased estate would then reflect in the municipal records as well. Something is just not coming together here. Either somebody has not done their homework and they are resorting to the word "I don't know" when they have not made effort to know, something is just not coming together. But as that chair, this issue of, well, let me also just agree with you on the point of our, the nature of our intervention with regard to the 50%. We were saying or proposing compensation here, and neither were we saying the department has a duty compensate, because the department was not responsible for the deprivation of rights. So they did not have an obligation. And it's true, the department is correct to say that the public protector remedial action was not aimed at them because they were not the culprit. Right? All we were doing was to make an ex gratia offer based on our policies to say, let us reach out to assist on humanitarian grounds. All right? That was the context. But I do not know whether the beneficiaries concerned had this thing properly explained to them so that they separate issues. But if you want us as another arm of state to assist ex gratia, this is what we are willing to offer. If you decline what we are offering, it's fine, you don't have to take it, but then it's up to you to decide on what other remedial action you want to take. Now, the offer of 10,000 again, I can't recall how this was calculated. I can't imagine in South Africa any piece of real estate that is owned as opposed to leased, that compensation would be as low as 10,000 rand. Everybody would jump for such an opportunity. So I'm not sure whether 10,000 rand has to do with in exchange for value lost in the form of an immovable asset, because if that is the case, and I would say without even checking how much the rate of properties in that situation cost, it just doesn't sound right. Something doesn't make sense then. So maybe I should be assisted in understanding what was the context there. The department is fighting a shell exercise. If you are hoping that you're going to find, to hold the municipality accountable for not implementing remedial action here, especially in the form of criminal action, I think even the public protector is limited in terms of how far they can go. They can, insist on the municipality bringing criminal charges against the concerned alleged culprit, but it's ultimately a police and NPA matter, which are independent institutions, to decide whether or not to prosecute anybody. And even the public protector, which is another constitutional authority, cannot dictate to the NPA, and I think there is a judgment that is right, to decide when and who to prosecute or not to prosecute. Their prerogative. But to the extent that they can at least insist that the municipality, at least if there is an apparent criminal breach, take reasonable steps to ensure that there is accountability, and put it in that broad way, and that the municipality indicate what action they've taken in that regard. For us, that would be a way in which the public protector put it to be. But I do not see the department having such powers or even influence over the municipality in terms of taking the media election. And of course, the municipality can take the media election on that hand. They are autonomous to some extent. But finally, the status to present itself need to just be clarified in terms of going forward. Do we accept that the department has done its part in making the necessary offer or in providing the alternative accommodation to the aggrieved person who's under the retirement there? It's up to the beneficiary to accept or reject, and if they reject, that's the end, and it's up to them to take whatever other alternative remedial action on their part to get relief. And that's something I think that we still need to be clear ourselves as to where we stand in relation to that. To the extent that beneficiaries would have decided on not taking up a particular, you know, offer that's been made to them, then it's their prerogative. But where the public protector has said that reasonable compensation, I think reasonable can easily be established looking at the market rate. But as long as we're talking about municipality, because insofar as the department is concerned, their mandate is confined to what their subsidy value in terms of the RDPR would be provide. It can go beyond. So let's start with the issue of Ecgracia, for support by the department to ensure, as you say, Chair, that people are proof of their risk from the issue of their rights to compensation by reach to terms and getting a reasonable compensation. That is a segment which does not fall within the head of this department. It's not their business. I mean, it's not the perpetrator of this violation of the complaint.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matthew. I think let me try to summarize the meeting and members will come back and must come on this meeting and then have a report. I think one, we must acknowledge that development cooperation, which and the Northwest Department has played their part both in availing land for the petitioners, except Mr. Mieren. Mr. Mieren's land, we just had to do more investigation. How did it happen that we have ended up with Mr. Mieren's hand? Because he had bought it from the development corporation, and therefore the land supposed to belong to development corporation. And that's why we were talking about the issue of declaration of township so that the Panieran can get a title deed, because the issue was that when you want to do business in that land, it's been part of the title deed, and development corporation, they didn't give us the letter, whether you call it permission to occupy, which doesn't, in terms of financial issues, they don't recognize, and what are asking that we need to be assisted to get the title. So that
land which he has bought from Development Corporation. So the issue that tells the family does not know where the land belongs to him and so forth, don't know what that stands for. The only thing that the issue of the public works which came in was that a mirror that said that part of the land that was given to him by the Development Corporation and that he made use, I think they cut part of his land and doesn't have a problem to share the title deed for that land so that now he can continue to have his own home. So I think we have to go back to Development Corporation to clarify the issue of the land here. The second issue that on the Mr. Hardware, the matter is closed as far as you're concerned in terms of what the Elkotech Portfolio Committee was as far as the portfolio is involved, I think that. But we are not saying they should not take the matter up to the public protester or whatever as the report of public protester and so on. The issue that with Mr. Hasso has got to be the land is the faster and the Mr. Close on our part. The issue of the two other petitions, the other one has come to the 64 meter. I don't know why it's been clubbed with the one that is refusing the 64 meter, which finally can proceed to bring that 64 meter for the persons who have set the 64 meter. And then if he doesn't want to go to the that happen offering, he can then proceed and wait for the outcome of the progress that happens for check that means that he has the accommodation. Because our intervention was for him to get a roof on top of the other. And acknowledge that Development Corporation of Northwestern obeys the land for the three petitioners. And what we have just to clarify, go back and clarify the Development Corporation, not with some, because Fadi doesn't even know that land. Development Corporation, which was the owner of the land which Mr. Nyeren occupied and where he was bought, that how did you come that to? They don't have the title deed of that land. And out of that clarity, can then be able to finalize the issue of the marriage.